Psalm 23, the Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We believe that God blesses whenever we read publicly from his holy word, the Bible. A few weeks ago, on behalf of Eileen and myself, I was asked to share our personal testimony. This morning I'm sharing with you David's personal testimony, David the King from the Old Testament. Some of you that are a little bit older may remember Laurence Olivier, who later became Sir Laurence Olivier, and later still became Lord Olivier. He was a great actor, particularly well known for his Shakespearean acting, and how he could learn massive great speeches, even soliloquies, if only I could spell it, that went on in Old English for ages and do it all wonderfully. He was first of all knighted and then made a peer of the realm, not only because of his work on the stage, but also because he was a philanthropist. And again, if I knew what it meant, but I read it somewhere. And one of his particular interests and causes, and I don't know why, but one of his particular charities, in fact he set up a trust, and he was the main contributor to that trust, he set up a series of homes across the country which were for people who had a perfectly sound mind and brain, but had bodies that were horribly distorted and disfigured, either from birth or through accident or through serious disease. And he set up a number of these homes. And as you probably know, when you have official openings of things, these official openings are very often a few months after actually they've been up and operational. But he attended for the official opening of one of these homes. And he was going to make a speech and declare it open, as you do. And joining him on a platform similar to this were all the local dignitaries. You know, there was the local MP, and there was the mayor with his chain, and the Lord Lieutenant, and the president of the chamber, all of those sorts of people, and they were all there round behind him, and here's Lord Olivier, and this is into the main lounge, rest area, whatever you want to call it, and all of these residents were brought in, some of them with one, but some of them even with two personal carers because of the degree of disability they had. a very moving sight. And he spoke to them and he said, maybe you would like me to recite something to you. Presumably expecting, you know, some one of those great speeches from Hamlet or Macbeth or something. You know them all, you remember them, you went to school. Okay. A man with a carer on each side of him on a chair, conveyor, whatever you might want to call it, specially constructed to be able to support his body, and with a voice which was, you could make out what he was saying, but it wasn't a normal voice. He called out Psalm 23. Wasn't what Lord Olivier had expected. But he said, I'll give it a go. He said, I remember learning it when I was at Sunday school. But I've never done it on the stage. And he proceeded to recite Psalm 23. Absolutely word perfect. Authorised version, I'm afraid. But absolutely word perfect. All the right inflections, you know, all the right tones. You couldn't read it better. Absolutely wonderful. And when he finished, all of these people around here, they burst into spontaneous applause. And he said to the man who asked him, he said, would you like to try and say it? And the man nodded. And he proceeded to recite Psalm 23. Again, word perfect, but quite different. By the time he'd finished, not only Lord Olivier, but all of these people behind him had tears pouring down their faces. And when the man finished, he looks at him and, you know, the consummate professional that he was, Lord Olivier said to him, I guess the difference is, he said, I know the psalm. You know the shepherd. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. That's Psalm 23 was written by David towards the end of his life. And it's his personal testimony. Now, Jonathan is going through the Psalms. And you will know a lot about the life of David, because the Bible tells us a lot about the life of David. You know, how that he started off as a shepherd lad, and while he was a shepherd lad, you know, he was able to look at the stars and see how great the universe was and all of those things. And he was brave, he fought off a lion and a bear, and he learned how to play music because there was nothing else to do, and he really believed in God. He thought that his God was greater than all the gods. And so when he went to visit his brothers, he was very upset that when somebody put his God down, nobody was doing anything about it. So he went and did it for them, and he slew Goliath, and then he became a hero, didn't he? And everybody worshipped him almost, apart from the king, that is, who sought to kill him over and over again, sometimes in the palace with a spear, sometimes chasing after him with an army. He even had opportunities to turn the tables and kill the king, but he wouldn't do that because he said he was God's anointed. But eventually he became king over part of the country first of all, and then over all of it, and he was a king for 40 years. But even then, things didn't go smoothly. He was always having to fight, but he won great battles, and the country was bigger then than it has ever been. But he had trouble with his family, didn't he? One of his sons rebelled against him and he had to flee for his life. But that son was killed and he came back again. And then towards the end of his life, another son decided he would take over. And he was going to kill all the rest of the sons so that he could take over. And David, being alerted to what would happen, made Solomon king, even though he was still alive himself. And they worked together for a number of years. And he had lots and lots of heartache. So he had a broad and varied life. So when he's writing, there aren't many experiences that we have gone through that he didn't. So it's worth listening to. So I'm going to go through the psalm. Now, you may start to get worried that I'm never going to finish. But I guarantee you, I will. Because sooner or later it'll get dark. But the reason you may think that I'm never going to finish is that I'm very slow starting. But I'm going to spend most of the time on the first three words and then move quickly through the rest of it. When I say the first three words, I don't mean the first three words that you read in English. I mean the first three words when it was written. And these first three words are important. And the first three words were basically these. Word one was Jehovah. Word two is my. And word three is a rather special word that doesn't occur very often in the Bible at all. And the third word is a word that best translated shepherd king. So Jehovah, my, shepherd king. I'm going to focus on those three just for a moment first. Let's start with Jehovah. Now again, I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. But Jehovah was the name of the great God. The Almighty God, the Creator God, the powerful God, the God who sustains the universe, the one who is just mighty, mightier than everything else. But it's also Jehovah is the holy God, the pure God, the perfect God, the God who hates wrongdoing, the God who judges. So Jehovah is an amazing God. Great, huge, powerful, holy. So holy and powerful that the Jew would not, could not, dare not even speak his name. He never spoke. In fact, the Jew would never even write it down. So holy is that name. And so they invented something that people a few years ago thought they were clever when they invented it. They invented text speak. They would write down a word and miss out the vowels. Yeah, you know what vowels have got. Yeah, you've all been to. And so when they wrote it down, they would write YHWH, which sometimes people pronounced Yahweh, because that was the only way they could think of saying it. Nothing's new under the sun, is it? A few years ago, they brought out iPads. Well, Admiral Lord Nelson had one of those. There's nothing new. Nothing new. I get prescriptions. I tend to wander them myself. So I've been getting free prescriptions for years. You just go to the chemist and you get a tablet. Go to PC World and try that on, and then they turn you away. Actually, they're far too big to swallow nowadays, aren't they? It's ridiculous. However, Jehovah, the great Almighty God, whose name alone is so immense, people couldn't say it or write it down. But you see, it's what comes next that really is the critical word in the whole of the psalm. The next word is my. Now that's a real shocker. Because what David is claiming now is that he has got a personal relationship with that almighty and holy God. Now that's fantastic. At the end of his life, David is claiming a personal relationship with that God whose name couldn't be spoken or even written down. So the question is, how and when did David enter into a personal relationship with this God? Now I'm going to read you out of the Psalms about that. Now it didn't happen when he was out in the fields with the sheep. It didn't happen when he was fighting Goliath. It didn't happen when he was a king fighting battles. Let me read you these words. This is David speaking to God. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. If you want to read it for yourself sometime, as you probably already find it somewhere, that's Psalm 51. That was the moment, despite all of his experiences of God and his belief in God and all of those things, that was the moment when David at last recognized that in God's sight he was a sinner. He accepted that clearly he was a sinner from the moment he was born. And he confessed his sin to God, and he asked God to forgive his sin and to cleanse him and to wash him from the stain of that sin. And that was quite a way through his life before he realized that. That was the moment when he entered into a personal relationship with the great and holy God. He knew he was great and holy, but he was distant. He was afar off. But at that moment, when God cleansed him of his sin because he asked of his forgiveness, he entered into a personal relationship with him. Now, you know, people sing all sorts of songs and various things and read various scriptures. And sometimes, maybe, we get comfort from them, but sometimes that comfort is false. You know, you think of football matches and people are singing "Abide with Me." And you wonder what they're getting from that. And sometimes people ask for the hymn, you know, the old rugged cross. And you wonder, well, do they really know what that means? And sometimes, you know, Psalm 23, it's the best known six verses in the Old Testament. And maybe people read it and get some sort of comfort from it. But, you know, that could be quite false. Because the only way we get the comfort which we'll come into when we do the remaining verses, the only way that we are entitled to all of this comfort and reassurance that comes in the remainder of Psalm 23, the only way that we can be sure that this is for us and we can claim it for ourselves is if we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's two words. Only two. Shepherd King. It's an interesting word because it's exactly what David was. Probably the greatest such shepherd king that has ever lived upon this earth, other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It implies two great responsibilities. And David had those, and he fulfilled them very well. For he was a leader of a people, and he was both a shepherd and a king. It could be quite easy to be a king. You know, you can be autocratic, you can lay down the law and rule over people. And I suppose he did that. But at the same time, he was a shepherd to the people. He guided them in the way that they ought to go. And that's a shepherd king, showing both of those characteristics. Authority over, and yet at the same time, a care for. And David, great though he was, himself in turn needed a shepherd king. And Jehovah was his shepherd king. The one who had, he gave him authority over his life, and the one who guided him and led him. And that's the portion of everybody who has a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. It's just the rest of the verses now. Let's just wander through them. He says, I shall not be in want. As you know, you're well aware, there's a difference between wants and needs. And we have a promise in the scripture that God shall supply all our need. Never promises he will supply everything we want. And surprisingly, actually, that's a blessing, isn't it? Because if we had everything we want, well, we wouldn't want God, would we? And that's the problem, isn't it, in our society. That in societies where there is plenty and people feel self-sufficient, they feel that they have no need of God. But God has promised to us that he will, that we'll never be in want. In other words, all our needs will be supplied. And remember, David is looking back on a life, you mentioned the ups and downs. As he looks back through it now, he sees that that has been true. And so can we, can't we? If we've been with him for many years, that there have been these ups and downs. Mention it a little bit later. But through it all, God has never left us needy. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. The southern kingdom, particularly, was desert. And yet we're talking here about he makes me lie down in green pastures. There weren't a lot of those around. But the shepherd knew where they were and led the sheep to it. David said, God has always done that for me. He's He's led me beside quiet waters, still waters. Sheep cannot drink from fast-flowing water, only from very slowly but moving or still water. God knew what he needed, and it was always there, even though sometimes, no doubt, David wondered if it ever would be there. He restores my soul. That's quite different from restoring the body, isn't it? Sometimes he restores our body, sometimes he doesn't. He always restores our soul. It's secure with him. Because his Holy Spirit lives within us, there is that assurance all the time of his presence. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He guides me the right way. He would never guide us any other way. We've got wandering off into something else. He never took us there. He never guided. He doesn't go behind and push. He goes ahead and shows the way. And we could get distracted. But he only ever takes us in right ways. And he takes us in right ways for his name's sake. Because you and I, if we've given our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, are his witnesses here on earth. That people should be able to look at us and see something of the Lord Jesus Christ in us and the way we live. And so he guides us for his name's sake, so that he might be glorified. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or the darkest valley, as the margin would have it, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. He went through some dark situations. Very dark situations. For fear of his life sometimes. And then family situations which must have hurt him ever so deeply, as they do. And maybe you can recount similar experiences. And he says, you are with me. It's not some theoretical thing. This is a man's personal testimony. He looks back on his life and he can say, all of these things have happened, but I recognize that through all of those, you were with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod is the scepter of the king. The staff is the crook of the shepherd. My shepherd king has always been with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Yeah, what are those, didn't he? David, down to his last, enemies. And yet, God provided for him richly, in full sight of those who were against him. And how he could praise the Lord for that. We're having refreshments afterwards, as I understand. Well, you're wrong, dear. So please stay and have refreshments. We may even have tea. Have you ever been distracted while you've been pouring a cup of tea? You have the teapot. You watch when you stand up. You have the teapot. And you have the cup. and you pour into the cup. And somebody says something, or you can smell smoke behind you, or something, and you look away. And when you look back, it's come over the top, and it's spilled into the saucer, and it's heading towards your trousers off the front of you. Why? I mean, not why did you, were you distracted? Why did that happen? Well, I hope you're going to understand this deep science now. It happened because the capacity of the teapot was far greater than the capacity of the cup. Quite logical, isn't it? And that's the illustration that David is giving here. His capacity to bless, pour out blessings on you and me, far exceeds our capacity to contain them or appreciate them. And so David says, my cup overflows. Isn't that lovely? So sometimes, you know, when we read, you anoint my head with oil, very often, figuratively speaking, we think of the oil as being the Holy Spirit. And the Bible would teach us that the moment we enter into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. And the Bible tells us about being filled with the Spirit. And yet, the Spirit of God can only fill the parts of us that we empty. The capacity of the Holy Spirit to indwell us far exceeds the amount of space we make available for Him to fill. And so it is with every one of God's blessings. There is always more. If only we read them and believe them and take them on board, we'll never run out of the good things and the blessings that God has for us. And that was David's personal testimony. My cup overflows. Well, I mean, I'm assuming we have tea. I doubt. Who's in charge of refreshments today? Wave your hand in the air. Ah, thank you. Now, are we having tea? Brilliant. Are we having sandwiches? Be careful with your board. Thursday night. Ali went to bed properly, wasn't feeling too good. And I was sure she was asleep. I went into the kitchen to see what there was to eat. And I found one and a half slices of ham. And I thought, right. So I looked at the bread, there was only a crust left. So I thought, no matter, got to the crust. Didn't look right. So I found a fresh loaf and I opened it and I took an ordinary, so, you know, moved the crust off the top of the side and I put butter on that. So I laid down the crust, which I buttered, and I put on the ham. And then I took the slice of bread, which I buttered, and I put that on top of the ham. See, you can learn recipes here. It's good, isn't it? How does it make sense? I wonder what it felt like being that slice and a half of ham. So you never think about this. You don't care, do you? That slice of ham, slice and a half of ham, was trapped. Totally trapped. Not going anywhere. Was it? Right. That's what David was talking about, wasn't it? Cups of tea, sandwiches. Verse 2. He leads me. Verse 5. Verse 6. Surely goodness and love will follow me. Where am I? I'm trapped. I'm trapped. The Lord is leading me, and the Lord's goodness and love are following me, and I'm trapped. I'm enclosed. I'm 100% secure and safe with God. Now that's some testimony, isn't it? No escape. And yet, how infrequently do we realise that that is actually the situation? That was David's experience. And it should be ours. If we've given our heart to him, that's our entitlement, that's what he's given us. If we haven't given our heart to him, then really, it's time we did. Because this is what he offers. And he says this, all the days of my life. Forever. Till the moment I die. No, beyond that. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. There's no escape if you've given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no escape from him, from his guidance, from his love and mercy and grace. And it's an amazing place to be. And that is David's experience, and he's sharing it with us so that we might have that same experience ourselves. Let's sing our final hymn.